Chapter 2. Tuesday, September 25th.
Bronwyn, 8:50 a.m. I have a terrible headache this morning. I open about that, but of course, it hasn't changed. There's just Simon's last post about a girl who's cheating on her boyfriend. Only Simon could post things on the app, and he was never wrong. There's one thing he could have written about me, but he can't do that now. Our teacher, Mrs. Park, tells us there's going to be a memorial service for Simon on Saturday, and she tells me I have to see Mr. O'Farrell at 11 o'clock. As I walk with Kate and Yumiko to our English lesson, we pass Nate. Without thinking, I say, "Hi." We're both surprised, and so are my friends. Nate's dark hair is untidy, and I'm sure he's wearing the same t-shirt as yesterday, but he looks good. He's tall, with sharp cheekbones, and he has blue eyes with long, dark eyelashes, and I can't think of anything more to say as I stare at him. Yumiko and Kate are staring at him too, but in a different way, as if he's a wild animal. Nate says he's just got to school. At 10 o'clock! I stare at him, till Kate pulls me away. Yumiko whispers, "He looks as if he just got out of bed, and not alone." I don't answer. We know what people say about Nate, but we don't really know anything about him. After English, I go to Mr. O'Farrell's office. He gives a file to me, saying there's a letter from the organizers of the Model UN. "They say you did a great job, so it will look good when you apply to Yale." I feel guilty for a minute, remembering that Leah Jackson and I made a mistake and told Simon the wrong date for applying to be part of the Model UN. He was really mad at us, because he had wanted to mention it when he applied to universities. But I'm pleased. Everyone from my family goes to Yale University. My grandfather went as a student. Then he moved his whole family from Columbia when he got a job there. My parents met there. But I stop feeling pleased when Mr. O'Farrell asks me whether I'd like to talk to a group of younger students. "They'd love to learn how you solved your problems with chemistry when you were getting D grades last year and then got top grades." It's hard to answer, but I say I can't because I have a lot to do, and he's okay about that. Chemistry was the only subject I ever had problems with, and every time I got a D, I felt my place at Yale was disappearing. I was getting A grades by the end of the year, but I don't think anybody would want me to tell other students how I did it.
Cooper, 12:45 p.m. "Will I see you tonight?" asks Keely. I haven't seen her much this week, and she likes to spend a lot of time with me. I tell her I have a lot of homework, and she looks upset, but suddenly we hear the loudspeaker. Cooper Clay, Nate McCauley, Adelaide Prentice, and Bronwyn Rojas, please report to Principal Gupta's office. "I'd better go," I say, giving Keely a kiss on her cheek. The others and a police officer are already in the office. I feel nervous as I sit down. Principal Gupta introduces Officer Hank Budapest from the Bayview Police Department. "Nice to meet you," he says. "This shouldn't take long. We now know that Simon died because he drank a large amount of peanut oil shortly before his death. His parents think this is very strange since he was careful with food and drink because of his peanut allergy. Simon drank a cup of water just before he became ill. Is that right?" We all nod and he continues. "We found peanut oil in the cup, So we're trying to find out how it got there. Nobody speaks. So he asks where Simon got the cup from. Bronwyn and Addie shake their heads, and Nate stares at the ceiling. I remember, I say. He pulled the top one off an upside-down pile of cups next to the sink. Did you see any water come out of the cup? Asks the officer. I think about it, then I say, no, he just filled it with water and drank it. He didn't drink it then, says Bronwyn. Remember? He talked for a while about the phones someone put in our backpacks. Oh, says the officer. I talked to Mr. Avery, and he now believes someone played a trick. Did Simon play tricks like that on you? Addie says that she didn't really know Simon, and Bronwyn reminds her that she was on junior prom court with him, but Addie doesn't remember. I heard about his gossip app, says the officer. Did he mention any of you on it? Nate grins and says, yeah, lots of times. And it's obvious he doesn't care. The rest of us shake our heads. Then the officer asks if we were worried about anything Simon might say about us in the future, and we all shake our heads again. But I know I was worried. When I look at Bronwyn, she's gone bright red. And Addie's gone white. Nate says, everybody's got secrets, right? Mom, Pop, and Nani, my grandmother, talk about Simon at dinner, but all Pop cares about is getting college scouts interested in me at the showcase this Saturday. Keely arrives while we are finishing dinner. We didn't plan to do anything, but she's come anyway. Then my phone pings as a text comes in. I try to stop myself from grinning as I see who it's from. Can I see you tonight? Bad time. I'll call you later. Okay. Miss you. Miss you too. Keely is talking politely to Mom. She really is a very nice girl. But Nani is looking at me.
Addie. 7:30 p.m. I think about Simon as I brush my hair before Jake arrives. My hair is the one thing I feel confident about. Even Keely once said that she wished she had my hair, and everyone says she's the most beautiful girl in the school. Simon only had one friend, a strange goth girl called Janae. I thought she was his girlfriend, until Simon started wanting to date all my friends. Of course, none of them said yes. Keely once let him kiss her at a party when she was drunk. That was before she was dating Cooper. Simon really wanted to date her, but it was never going to work. When Jay comes upstairs, he tells me the Kelleher's want him to sit with the family at Simon's funeral. I'm surprised. But then I remember that they used to be good friends before Jake became a jock and Cooper became his best friend. Simon was just the weird guy Jake used to know. I've wondered sometimes whether Simon started about that to make Jake notice him. Simon once found out that a guy Jake didn't like had been harassing some junior girls, and he wrote about it online. Everyone read it, and I think it was the first time anyone at Bayview noticed Simon. And then he started his app. We're still going to the beach tomorrow night if that's okay, Jake says. He says it as if it's my decision. But we both know Jake decides everything. Of course. Who's going? I ask. Cooper and Keely, Luis, Olivia? Vanessa? Don't say TJ. And TJ. Great, I say, kissing him. Mom calls up the stairs to me that she and Justin, her latest boyfriend, are going into town for a drink, like always. Jake pulls me onto the bed, and his hands start to move inside my shirt. Is this okay? He asks. But I never refuse him. Mom says that if you say no too often, another girl will say yes. Jake and I slept together the first time, just after junior prom. He made it a big event in a nice hotel with dinner and flowers. I would have liked it if he hadn't planned it, but it showed he cared. It's more than okay, I say.
Nate, 8 p.m. Dad's asleep in the living room when I get in, with an empty bottle of whiskey in his hand. When Mom was here, it was better, but it wasn't great. Lots of times, she'd stay in bed for days. On good days, she was wild, but fun. For one birthday, she bought me a lizard. We called him Stan, and I still have him. Then, Mom started taking drugs. Yes, I'm the asshole who sells drugs after they ruined his mother's life. But I don't sell the strong ones. She left, and for a while, she came back every few months. When I was 8, she told me she was going to take me to Oregon. So I packed a bag and put Stan in a box. I waited half the night before I realized she wasn't coming. I give Stan some food and throw myself into an armchair. One of my phones pings. I have 3. One for people I know, one for the people who give me drugs to sell, and one for customers. It's a message from Amber. Are you up? I don't date girls seriously. I don't want problems, but Amber never tries to stay too long, so I text back, come over. Then, a text with a link comes from Chad Posner, a guy at Bayview. You see this? The link opens a Tumblr page. I got the idea for killing Simon while I was watching a TV report. A guy's wife was cheating on him and he paid someone to kill her. The police found out what he'd done because they could check his phone calls. He could have avoided being found out because a lot of other people hated her too, but he wasn't clever enough. If you're clever, you can get away with killing someone who lots of people hate because there are plenty of suspects. Everyone at Bayview High hated Simon, but I was clever enough to kill him. Crying laughing face. I guess this is somebody's sick joke.